When it comes to the discussion of housing issues in New York, the focus is usually on those who rent and those who own, which ignores a unique subset of New Yorkers with a foot in both camps, mobile home residents. And while these homeowners, many of whom live on a fixed income, were covered with some protections in a comprehensive 2019 state housing law, which is primarily targeting traditional renters, there is still more that needs to be done for them, according to consumer advocates and mobile park residents themselves. For more on the issue, we're joined by Ann Jenkins, who lives in the Spring Valley Village manufactured home community in Rockland County, which has made headlines in recent years for controversial property rent increases by the company RHP, the largest owner of manufactured housing parks in the U.S. Welcome to the show, Ann.
Thank you.
So how did you end up living in a manufactured home community, and can you explain for the uninitiated what it's like living there?
Well, I ended up, because at that time my family was, I was in the process of getting divorced, so I divorced my husband. And in the meantime, I heard about a lot that was vacant in the Spring Valley Mobile Home Village, and I inquired. I was able to attain it. Then I went to one of the mobile homes that sell homes, and I purchased one. We had it brought in. And that's basically how me and my daughters ended up living here. And, it's, you know, it's a great place. Well, when I first moved here 16 years ago, it was a great place to live, to raise your family. The rent wasn't that much. You know, and it was just, you know, diverse cultures of people living here. But through the years, since and it's gone through numerous owners, and finally with the one we have now, RHP, the rent has gotten so ridiculous that those that are of my age, I'm retired, elderly lady now, and I'm retired, you can't afford it. You know, another 2 years and whatever I have in my savings is gone with them, you know, gouging the rent like they do. And when they increase it, it never gives you an explanation as to why it was increased or anything. Because I think that, you know, home should be a place that you can come, feel comfortable in, not be afraid that, oh, next month, am I going to have enough money to pay my rent? Am I going to have enough money to do that? But fortunately, I'm one of those that my home, when I purchased it, I paid for it in cash, so I don't have to worry about a mortgage. But there's still those here that have a mortgage plus this high lot rent that they, you know, have to pay every month.
How much can rent cost for a property in the park you're living in? And what sort of increases in terms of a percent have you seen in past years?
Anywhere from 5 to 10% increase.
And so how much do you pay now?
Well, when I first moved in here 16 years ago, it was $450 a month. I said, fine, I can afford that. Now it's $1,377, and I'm sure when my lease is over and begin again in 2022, it's going to go up again. By then it'll be $1,400. Who can afford that, especially on a fixed income?
You mentioned that there hasn't been any explanation in the past of what was driving the rent increases. And obviously, it's understandable if, you know, they're trying to do some sort of cost of living to represent maybe their property tax bills. But, you know, if you're going up, if you're going up exponentially, though, or the property taxes are relatively capped, that doesn't explain what's going on. So are there any additional investments that you can see maybe on the property that RHP is making that might explain this?
Not doing anything. The roads are a mess, potholes all over, trees overhanging the homes that they don't trim back. The buffer zones are ridiculous. They never clean those out. They don't do anything here. Nothing. You know, you inquire with them to come and to clean up. They don't do anything. And I talked to quite a few. If they would just pave the roads, repair the driveways, and just cut the grass in each one, each lot. They don't do that. They don't give us anything. And when you try to contact them, you get no response. You know, they have a form that you fill out and you give it to the office for them to send to the corporate office. You never get a response back. They never give you phone numbers or names or anything. And if you try to obtain someone in the corporate office phone number or name, they never give you that. So there's nothing really that we can do, you know, to try to reach them, to talk to them. We even requested that once a month that the manager on the property have a meeting with the resident so that we can, you know, voice our concerns. We never get that. And like I said, corporate never answers you. I had an experience that when the regional manager took over 3 years ago, Corrine Burrish, she came by with the manager that was here on the property, Andrea. I showed her the problems that was wrong with my property. She said, okay, I'll go back to corporate. I'll discuss it with them, and I'll get back to you. 3 years ago, never heard anything from her. And that will constantly get in touch with the manager here on the property. And she said, oh, I'm relaying your message. I'm relaying. So you said, you know, give me a phone number. Let me call. Oh, well, we can't get that out, you know. So, you know, you're at a standstill. They don't do anything.
Has this experience been what you came to expect from previous owners during your 16 years?
No, because when I first moved here and the manager that was here, you could go to him with concerns and he would do his best to rectify, to, you know, do what he could to get the whatever your complaint was to get it settled for you. He was really good. But then when they got rid of him and they got different ones, and each one after him is worse than the one that you got before. Now, before the property manager that we have here now, before she took over, there was one that she was here less than a year. She was good. She was had started to help the tenants out. But I think their problem is they don't want anyone to help the tenants out. It's just to, you know, do what I say, and that's it. You know, it doesn't matter what the tenants' concerns are. They don't care. Because now they, you know, you park your car in front of the yard. I'll give you an example. I went away on vacation. My daughter's friend, he was staying here to watch the house with us. He had his car parked on the front of my driveway, not on the road, but in the driveway. They towed his car. Asked him where. It took us a day to find out where the car was towed to, you know, and then that was almost $400 to get that. And they don't want to reimburse you. And the sad thing is, they never told us that they were going to enforce a no parking on the street. They just all of a sudden just did it. Overnight, they did it. No one knew anything about it until it happened.
The Housing Stability and Tenant Protection Act, this sweeping housing law that was passed in 2019, caps the rent increases you might have to pay at 3%. Is that a meaningful cap? And what sort of increases have you been hit with since that law took effect? And you mentioned that your current lease is set to expire. Are you expecting a 3% cap moving forward?
Well, mine's expired this past February. And I guess because I'm so vocal and went out, mine's only went up to 3%. Now, I just recently saw two tenants here, and they showed me their new lease. Their lease is going up like 10-15% with no explanation as to why. One lady went up from 1243 to 1377. No explanation why it went up. And they expect for her to just sign it. And she's elderly. She's older than I am, you know, with her fixed income. How do you expect someone to go from 1243 to 1377? You know, that's absorbent. It's way more than the 3% that the law in 2019 stated that they could charge us. And the same about the one that just showed me theirs yesterday. Theirs went up just like this lady's, and no explanation.
So when you think about the best path forward, what sort of legislation on the state or federal level would you like to see to, I guess, look out for mobile home residents like yourself?
Well, that they could just cap it at a certain limit, that they can't go any higher, because I checked the tax records. Taxes hasn't gone up. So there's no justification that, oh, my taxes was increased, that that's why. So that's out the door. That's not true if they try to give us that explanation. But like I said, you know, it's got to be capped, because pretty soon we'll be paying more than someone that has an actual home and own the land, and they're paying for a mortgage. You know, because what I'm paying now, the $1,377, if I could find a home, maybe another $600, and at least, you know, I would have the property and the home would be mine. Instead of just renting it, and, you know, someone telling me, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, but yet they don't do anything for it.
And what about legislation that would maybe mandate that any increases go to be invested, at least a portion of that money, back into the property, or some sort of more transparency about how these rent increases are being used?
That would be good if they could mandate that, because there's a lot that could be done in this park. We need a park for the kids to play in. They need a rec room and all. And if something like that, when the legislation was passed and mandated that it goes back into community, maybe, that would be better for the residents. That they at least would have something to show, well, this is what my money is providing. We have nothing. Like I said, no pool, no nothing for the kids to enjoy during the summer. They don't, like I say, they don't fix the roads. The kids are playing in the road. Cars are coming. The kids got to jump aside. But it's really ridiculous how they treat us. Like they don't, they really don't care. It's just pay your rent and shut up. That's all we want.
Do you think that's a unique experience for mobile home residents in New York, what you're experiencing in Rockland County, or is this more the norm throughout the state?
I think it's throughout the state, because the other parks that have been contacted and all, they're having the same problem, especially with the ones that are owned by RHP. And there's other owners, and those residents are having the same problem. Something that, they're just rent gouging us to the fact point that they really don't care. And this is something, because a lot of the tenants down here, the ones they're selling their homes and they're moving away because they can no longer afford this high rent. And there was, what, last year, there was one elderly lady that had her home on the market. Well, not last year, year before last, 2019. And she had taken down a binder on her home to sell it. And they told her she couldn't sell it, not listen to, she went through them, that they had to sell it for her. So she had to call that off and wait for them to sell it. And then she moved. But I'm sure she lost money, because I don't think RHP has a right to get involved and act as a realtor to sell my home when they had no, dealings in helping me purchase it.
Do you think it'd be worth exploring other business models for mobile home parks in the future? For example, maybe mandating that property owners be nonprofits to ensure that they're not trying to make money and essentially investing money back into the property, or some sort of cooperative model where you'd have the property run like a homeowners association where
Look,
the tenants are making the decisions and running the
that's
property.
something, yeah, that's something that we've been discussing, the nonprofit or the homeowners association. That's something that we've been discussing to see how we can get a law written and mandated that that's what they have to, the guidelines they have to follow. So we hopefully that we can get something together and have it put into legislation next year when, they assemble.
Do you find when you engage with lawmakers that they are responsive to your concerns and also recognize the validity of your concerns?
Well, some are and some aren't. Some, if it's during the time that the election is up, they promise you the world. They do nothing. Others, they help you even after they've been elected and gotten into office. They'll still help. And like I say, some, they just want that vote to get me in. And after that, they can't remember who you are or what your problem was.
Would you care to name names?
No.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, we've been speaking with Ann Jenkins. She lives at the Spring Valley Village Manufactured Home Community in Rockland County. Ann, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.